Our reading tonight is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 14, and can be found on page 1195 of the Church Bibles. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Thank you, Meredith. That's great. Why don't we just pray before we start? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this space that we have, Lord, this time that we have. We thank you that it's not an accident that we're here, Lord Jesus, that you knew we would be here, and that you have something for us, Lord, tonight. And pray that our hearts will be open, that our hearts will be turned towards you. Our ears will be opened, Lord, our eyes will be opened. That, Father, we would know what you are saying, Lord God, and how you want us to respond to your word, we pray. Amen. Hey, well, I want to add my welcome to Josh's. If I've not met you, my name's Paul. I'm one of the associate ministers here. It'd be great to say hi at the end. Do come and catch me. Say hello. It'd be great to meet you. Last week, we spoke about identity. And this week, we're going to be looking at courage. So the subject for today, for tonight, is courage. And I don't know what comes to mind when you think about courage. Unfortunately, I think the word courage, when we talk about it or we hear the word courage, it brings to mind things like this: being brave and fearless. Maybe we have this person in our head who's like, wow, they are courageous. Like, they just personify courage. How brave are them? They're without fear. They are so courageous. Well, certain dictionary definitions don't help with that way of thinking too. Here's one, for example. Definition of courage: the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear. However, I wonder if it is without fear. I wonder if having courage involves fear, is in the midst of fear. And I think actually a level of fear is actually quite helpful. Our brains are wired in a way that we know where something is dangerous. So we know that if we stick our hand in the fire, a level of fear around that is actually probably quite wise. We know that walking towards the edge of a cliff, a level of fear actually is probably quite wise. We need to be aware of feeling fearful, being aware of fear, being aware of danger. Wikipedia, good old Wikipedia, listen to this. This is courage, according to these guys. Courage, also called bravery or valor, is the choice and willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. Physical courage is bravery in the face of pain, hardship, death, or the threat of death. And moral courage may look like the ability to act rightly in the face of popular opposition, shame, scandal, discouragement, or personal loss. It's about strength in the face of pain or grief. The ability to still do something even if it frightens you. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's acting in spite of it or in the midst of fear. For me, it's about not being held back by fear. Yes, acknowledging it. Yes, hearing it. But not allowing it to stun you to not be able to move forward. It's about recognizing it, feeling the fear, but pressing in and doing it. Nelson Mandela, a political leader, faced many challenges in his life and showed courage over his lifetime. He said this, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave is not someone who does not feel afraid, but it is someone who conquers that fear." You know, the root word for courage is core, which is connected to the heart. It means the heart. So to feel something in your heart, to take heart, to have courage in your heart, and to act and react from the gut, from the heart of who you are. Psalm 31, verse 24 says this, "Be strong and let your heart take courage." Be strong and let your heart take courage. Well, let's look at the text, the verse that we've just had read. Now, let me just give you the context for this. This is the Apostle Paul who's writing to Timothy, who's a younger colleague. The Apostle Paul's writing in prison and he's trying to encourage Timothy. Timothy is a younger colleague, a younger leader. And lots of scholars and commentaries say that he was a less forceful colleague, somebody that maybe wasn't as in your face as Paul, a less forceful character. And Timothy is struggling with false teachers in the context that he's in the midst of all the leadership that he's involved in. He's involved with some quarrels and some arguments, and he's feeling slightly intimidated. And Paul's often saying, hey, look, step into who you are. Be encouraged in who God has called you to be. Step into it and just have courage to lead and to lead well. Don't let people look down at you because you're younger, but step up and step into it. He's saying that he needs courage to speak out and remember who God has called him to be, maybe his identity, if you like, and the position that God has placed him in. But really, for me, what Paul is saying to him, hey, Timothy, don't shrink back. In the midst of all that's going on, and the fear that you might feel, or the intimidation that you might feel, don't become timid. Don't become so passive that you just shrink back. He's saying, don't shrink back. But just acknowledge it and stand up and just speak out. Be courageous, because that's the spirit that God has given you. The spirit of power, of self-control and discipline. That's the spirit that God has put in you. So let's look at our text, actually. Verse 7 that we just read out. Paul's encouraging him not to be timid. He's saying that's not what the spirit is. He's not giving you the spirit of timidity to be timid, but actually of power in the challenges that Timothy faces. Now, this word, timidity, it's actually too weak of a translation, because when you do a bit of digging and you do a bit of reading around it, this word timidity was used in battle contexts. So it was used when people were approaching battles and thinking about battles, and it describes a terror that overtakes the fearful in extreme difficulty. It's a terror that overtakes people in extreme difficulty. And in a very typical Pauline way, he's contrasting these things, and he does this in his letters. And Paul is saying this. He's saying, not this, but this. Don't do that, but do this. Don't think like that, but think like this. And in this text, he's doing the same. This is what he does in his letters. He's saying the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but it gives us power. He's showing a contrast. He's saying it's not this, it's this. It's not timidity, it's power. Paul's reminding him that he actually can only lead amongst this community and in the midst of this community, even when he feels inferior or intimidated or timid. He can only do it in the power of God and through the power of God. And the Apostle Paul is reminding him that that's what God has put in him, the spirit of power, and to lean on that, to draw from that, not to shrink back, but to lean on in it and into it. So we do what we do in the power of the Spirit, even in the face of fear. We do what we do in the power of the Spirit, even in the face of fear. We have courage despite fear. All that is going on, we have courage despite fear. You know, when I think about my story and my journey and how this has kind of played out for me, I remember praying for a demonized lady in Starbucks. I think she was actually a witch. But this lady who was just riddled with demons and evil spirits, I'd been asking God to show me new things. At the time, I think I'd been a Christian for 25 years. And I was like, God, is this it? Like, is this what it looks like? You know, and now, you know, being a Christian for 35 years, I'm like, Lord, I always want to keep moving forward. I don't want to shrink back because of fear. I don't want to be timid. I don't want to be intimidated. I want to know my voice. I want to find my voice. I want to speak it with confidence, conviction, and with courage in the context and in the face of fear. I want the Spirit of power. I want to operate in the Spirit of power, not out of timidity. And I was on one of these prayer walks. I was on a prayer and study day. And I was walking around. I was saying to God, God, I'm not satisfied with where I am in my faith. I've seen but a glimpse of what I know of you. I've seen but a glimpse of the spiritual dimension. I've seen but a glimpse of the kingdom of God. I've seen but a glimpse. I've tasted it kind of, but I know there's so much more. Being a Christian and living on the edge and living in a place where I'm uncomfortable and being uncomfortable and being shaken up and being put in a place where I feel like, God, if you don't turn up, I'm toast. I want to live in that sort of area of my faith. I don't want to be bored with Christianity. I don't want to be bored with who I am and where I am with God. So God, will you shock and surprise me? Will you open my eyes? Will you allow me to experience things that I've not experienced? Will you take me into a place where I feel uncomfortable because you want me to grow? Will you help me to grow in the gifts of the Spirit? Will you help me to grow in operating in the power of the Spirit? I want to see more. I want to experience more. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at in my faith. So God, you just come and shock me. Come and surprise me. So that was my prayer. And then I go into Starbucks and I sit down and I have a coffee. This isn't me and this isn't Starbucks, but you get the idea. And I'm sitting there and then I pull up and then I have my nice flat white or latte, I think it was at the time, bit of chocolate. And I sit opposite this lady, quite a large black African lady. And just by me sitting opposite her, she's becoming really uncomfortable. So my very presence of being there, remember I'm in this moment of praying and listening to God and praying to God and so on. I'm in this kind of, that headspace, if you like. But as I'm sitting there, she begins to get increasingly uncomfortable. So she sits there and starts to clear her throat and scratch her neck. And she's becoming really almost allergic to me being opposite her. She's becoming, I'm sort of slowly taking offense. I'm like, I don't think it's my aftershave. Like, what is it? Like, why am I annoying you so much? I hadn't said anything to her, but I just sat opposite her. We shared a little coffee table. But then she starts clearing her throat and literally giving me the evil eye. So she's staring me down, looking horrible at me. She's probably in her mid to late 50s. But then things got a bit interesting when she starts trying to curse me. So she gets her hands and she gets her fingers and she looks at me and she goes, in the middle of Starbucks, as you do. So I'm like, okay, this is interesting because I've not said anything, but I've really obviously done something or I'm offended her in such a way that she can't stand being in my presence. And now she's stretching her fingers out towards me and she's hissing like a snake over me. So in these moments, you kind of either finish your coffee and run, or you say, okay, I'm going to stick around. So I stuck around. So I'm saying, God, I've kind of prayed. I've said I don't want to be bored in my faith. I've said I don't want to be intimidated. I've said I want to step into the power of the Spirit of God. I've said I want to operate in the power of the Spirit. This is quite new for me. I'm properly freaked out. I'm probably going to wet my pants. But hey, I'm here. So I'm like, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And I'm feeling all the feelings of being timid and scared and so on. But I'm like, I'm just going to stay here. So I start to be nice to her and I say, hey, Would you like a piece of my chocolate? She didn't want any of my chocolate. She definitely didn't want any of my chocolate. So I can't offer you my latte because you've got your own drink. How do I move forward in all of this? And I'm like, Lord, I want to engage. Just think, help me to find courage. You know, you start singing these songs. You make me brave. You make, you know, a spirit break out. You do all these things in your head because you want to do something, but you don't know what to do. And you're caught in this spiritual kind of moment in Starbucks. So I said, Lord, I'm going to offer to pray for her. I'm just going to offer to pray for her. So in the middle of Starbucks, I lean over and say, hey, look, I'm about to leave. I'm about to go, but would you like me to pray for you? Like, is there anything that you would like me to pray for you for? And she said, yeah, I'd like that. But then she puts her fingers in her ears, and she goes, demons, leave me alone. Stop talking. I'm having a conversation. Demons, stop it. Leave me. Leave me alone. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So then she's doing that, and I start praying. So I'm praying out loud in the middle of Starbucks, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I'm thinking of every Bible verse that I could possibly think, and I'm praying, and I'm really going for it. And her fingers are in her ears, and they're getting tighter. And then she starts to chant over the top of my prayer. So it's all kicking off in Starbucks, as you can imagine. You know, people are like, well, this is different, isn't it? And they're like, I'm kind of there, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And she's chanting and so on, and it's all kind of happening. And then I kind of say, oh, in the name of Jesus. And then she just slumps down, and she doesn't move. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's dead. I've killed her. Like, what am I going to do? Because she's literally frozen. She's not moving, and she's just slumped in her seat. But then she rises up. In quite a royal way. And her eyes wide and really wide. And she leans into me and she says, do you know who you're talking to? In a different voice. Do you know who you're talking to? You're very privileged to talk to me, aren't you? And then she says, your name's Paul, isn't it? And you're a Christian. I hadn't told her my name. And I'm freaking out. Like, I'm like, okay. So this kind of goes on for a bit, and she begins to mock me. She begins to mock the Bible. She begins to mock Jesus. She begins to mock our scriptures and Christianity and the church, and she's going for it. And I'm like, Lord, what do I do? I either run or I press in. And I press in. I'm like, look, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And it kind of went on for a while, and people are watching. And we prayed. And she kind of heard stuff, and it went back and forth and back and forth. And what happened in me? The passion was kind of growing in me and was rising in me, like, this is not okay. And the enemy messes people's lives up to such a point. And Jesus has come to break this and to change this. And I want to be someone that stands up and not shrinks back. And I want to step into places that are uncomfortable and that freaks me out, that I feel uncomfortable, but I know that God is with me in it. And I want to grow in this area. And I want to lead in this area. And I want to see people set free in this area. And after a long time of actually realizing, whenever I pray, you put your fingers in your ears. You don't want to be prayed for. You can't actually even hear my prayer because your fingers are in your ears. You don't even want to be set free. It was an interesting moment as I kind of concluded and I said, okay, well, look, I'm going to leave it. I'm going to say a final prayer, but I'm going to leave it. And if we can talk again, or if I come back again, happy to talk, happy to pray again. Let's do that again. She starts saying, you can't handle this. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. And I end with a scripture. I say, look, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And it kind of just died down. And it kind of concluded. What I took from that, and that was the start really for me for a journey of things like that happening in London and in around and in other places. But what I took from it was like, I felt like David trying to use a sling. And just working out, how do you do this? How do you face the giants in life? How do you stand against the spiritual darkness and giants? And I was a little boy learning how to operate in the spirit and growing in that. And I think what happened was, for me, it started me on a journey of saying, Lord, I don't want to shrink back. I don't want to be scared. And when there's false teachers or where there's people saying things that are opposing to what I know to be true, I want to speak out. And I don't care whether that's Starbucks or in a chapel or in church. I'm just going to speak out for you. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to speak your word. I'm going to speak your life wherever I go. Well, that's kind of me, and that's kind of my journey, my story in that area. But what might it look like today, and it's different for me today. There's different areas of my life that's a challenge, that I feel like I need courage, that I feel like, God, I feel intimidated, I feel fearful, but I'm going to do it anyways because I've got a strong conviction that that's what you've called me to do. That's what you've asked me to do, and I'm going to do it. Yes, I feel afraid at times. Yes, I'm aware of it, but I'm going to step in to it. And our culture and our context that we operate in today, mind changes, it all changes wherever we go and the age that we are. But our culture has a certain way. And there's moments where we can be courageous in that culture. You know, the Times newspaper ran an article recently that said, "Be brave, delete Facebook." And like for some of us, that would petrify us. Absolutely. Because let's be honest, you know, we can be addicted, we can be obsessed and so on. That might be such a scary, like, that I could just never do that. Like if you leave your phone somewhere or your phone's out there, you start to feel the levels of anxiety. Like a courageous thing might be that. But it might also be to open an account. It might also be to reopen an account and say, you know what? I'm gonna be courageous and I'm gonna do that and I'm gonna have a different voice on social media. I'm gonna speak truth. And not about me and how great my life is, but I'm going to speak truth. I'm going to bless others. I'm going to promote others. I'm going to promote God. I'm going to promote Jesus, promote the church. I'm going to speak life into a place. That might be the courageous thing for us to do. It's different for all of us, isn't it? We all have different things. It might be leaving a job. Doesn't make sense, but you have a strong conviction. It feels a bit fearful. Feel a bit like, well, God, how's that going to work? But it's taking the courage to do that if it's been confirmed in numerous ways to stand up and to step into it. It might be starting a relationship where you've been hurt and burnt before. It might be being honest, having courage to actually be honest about where you're at. It might be to love again. It might be to initiate a conversation with someone that's been really hard to. And I think what the Apostle Paul is saying, don't shrink back. Allow the Spirit of God to empower you to do the right thing, to do what is right, to do what you know to be true, to do what's true to Scripture, to step into it, to step up to it. It might be have courage in the middle and the midst of illness. It might be to keep going. It might be to get up in the morning. It might be to go to work or school or college, whatever it is. But I feel that God wants to say, look, you can do this because I want to empower you. Don't shrink back. Don't operate from a place of timidity and being consumed by fear that it stops you from actually functioning and doing the thing that God has called you to do and being the person that he's called you to be in life.